Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life for Wired podcast, and thank you guys for joining us on this Sunday, May 21st. Today's episode is all about getting out of your own way and taking control of your life. And this is something that really hits home with both Christina and I, because really we've kind of built our whole life in this way. And we know that, you know, some of the success that we found professionally and in our businesses, as well as the success that we have found in our own individual fitness journeys, and even our collective relationship, is all testimony to taking control over every aspect of your life. When we say, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything, is something that we truly take seriously across the board. And we know that this is so important if you guys do want to have success in any area of your life. And while we still believe in balance and we still believe in, you know, the ability to have flexibility, you know, there is a level of specificity and just organization that you need in your life to achieve the things that you want to achieve. But before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the so-called healthy protein bars that you find on the market are in fact heavily processed and are essentially just glorified candy bars. And we know that if we consume too much processed food too often over time, it can eventually lead to long-term health issues. And so this is why we personally love the Nash bars, because we can have an easy on-the-go, quick, you know, protein bar that's filled with nutrients, but never have to worry about that accumulation and that kind of that compound effect of consuming more processed food over time. So, you know, we can rest assured that, you know, all of the ingredients inside the Nash bars are whole, healthy ingredients, and we never even have to think twice. And so make sure you guys head to the link to the Nash website to get notified when their releases are going to take place each week, each month. This really helps stay on top of your ordering process. We know that we have clients always trying to get in right at that window. And so the next window that it is going to be open is May 25th at 6 p.m. So make sure you set your reminders, set a calendar invite, whatever you have to do to get your hands on these bars, because they go quick. Last time they sold out in literally like 4 minutes. So definitely head to the link after the episode and get notified when those bars are going to be released. So on to today's episode, which is episode number 86. Getting out of your own way and taking control over your life. And so, you know, we talk a lot, guys, just about like being proactive versus reactive. And that's really like the first thing I think about with this episode, is a lot of times we get ourselves into these compromised situations and it's really our own doing. And sometimes we're playing life on autopilot, and we're just on autopilot so much that it's so difficult to identify that it's even us sabotaging our own selves. Like, I just personally had a kind of run-in with this myself, where I was talking with Christina and I was thinking about kind of like my structure of things I was doing in my business. And as entrepreneurs, we are constantly always having to like reassess, self-assess, and figure out, okay, is what I'm doing and what I'm spending my time on an optimal use of my time? Is it not? You know, am I wasting time in this specific time of the week? Am I not? So, you know, for us to achieve the level of success that we want to achieve, we know how important it is to constantly self-assess and just assess aspects of the business in general. And so, you know, I was finding that basically on Monday, I was getting very like anxious and overwhelmed repeatedly week after week. And I was really trying to figure out, okay, what is the source of this? You know, I kind of have a lot of my weekly routines and day-to-day routines in place so that I avoid those types of emotions. But something that I was realizing is, and this just happens naturally once again as entrepreneurs, is, you know, as your business does start to scale, as you do start to work with more people, as you do start to, you know, have like new issues arising as well as new opportunities arising, like you really do have to expand and grow yourself with the expansion and growth of the business. And I was running into some of those growing pains where I was realizing I was kind of trying to like intuitively do too much without a specific structured plan, like around certain content I was posting for the week, certain interactions I was doing with my clients inside of like my client group chat, how I was like showing up on my Instagram story and things like that for my social media feed. So there's just all of these kind of like specific tasks and metrics that were kind of just like floating around in my like mental ether, but I didn't have like very specified times and days that I was dedicating and allocating to these things. And I was finding that I was getting into that groove of like Monday, and I was almost going into like fight or flight mode, because while I did have like all of these past systems and past structures in place, I was finding that I was trying to do more without that structure and without having a specific time and place in my routines for those new tasks or for those things I was trying to achieve. So I really had to look inward. I was like, okay, what are the areas I'm struggling with? Where am I falling short? Where am I maybe lacking the creativity? And as I was talking this out with Christina, it was very evident that, like, you know, while we did have our structure with the podcast, while I did have my structure around my client check-ins and like what content I was posting and like planned, you know, meetings of batching content with my videographer and all these different things that I'm doing, like I had all of those things in place, but now I have some new layers, you know, to the business that I have to start implementing and I had to start doing on a consistent basis. And so, you know, while kind of the immediate emotion is that, you know, victim mindset of like, oh my God, woe is me? Why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling these negative emotions? You know, while I may have like tapped into that very quickly early on, it was very much so quickly followed by, okay, what can I do about it? What can I change? And I think what happens sometimes is we get too lost in that emotional barrier, and then it causes us basically to do nothing. It causes inaction versus action. And that's like the biggest point of this whole podcast, guys, is to help you get out of your own way and take action, to take that control over your life.
And I think the big theme here is you have control over way more than we essentially give ourselves credit for. So looking at your example and my example, the biggest commonalities is that when you're overwhelmed and you don't have a plan, it causes analysis paralysis. So when you say like, I have all these goals, I have all these things I want to get done, but you don't write it down and create a plan or put in the action to achieve those plans, you get overwhelmed. And then you say like Zach said, the victim mindset, it prevents you from actually putting in the action. So analysis paralysis is, you know, you have so much going on, but you're so overwhelmed, you can't even take that first step, which for him was just like creating a plan and like batching things out. And this kind of goes into my example, but also a little reminder that structure brings consistency, which then brings freedom. So this goes into nutrition in a way that, like, for me, I used to self-sabotage a lot with nutrition. This came from like my bodybuilding days. And just once I had that freedom that I didn't have prior when I was on prep and like meticulously hitting my macros, once I had freedom, I was obsessed with it. And I was like, I don't want any meal prepping. I don't want any preparation. But that lack of preparation, I was so lost and overwhelmed. And I kept saying, I'll start over tomorrow. I'll start over Monday. But I never started over because I didn't have a plan in place. I wasn't being proactive. I was being extremely reactive. And I would self-sabotage my nutrition, especially at this time I was working in the service industry. I'd go into my shift with my hunger levels high, like I wouldn't eat beforehand. I'd go in and I was working at bars or taco restaurants, so there's all this food around. It's very tempting. If I didn't pack my lunch, my only option was these convenient foods that were around, which did not align with my goals. And then I'd get off work late. Getting off work late caused my workout in the morning to be off. So I kept self-sabotaging myself when it comes to nutrition because I wasn't packing my lunch or eating a high protein meal beforehand. I wasn't bringing snacks that aligned with my goals. I wasn't taking control over my nutrition, which then caused me to self-sabotage because at the end of the day, if your hunger levels are high and you don't have a goal food option around, you're going to pick what's convenient and it's going to prevent you from achieving your goals.
And we even see that with our clients where, you know, when they typically are having those nutrition struggles or, you know, say they are in a position like, you know, an example that comes to mind is, you know, hey, I was super busy all week. You know, I didn't hit my nutrition goals, but, you know, did we plan ahead with our grocery shopping? Like, did we have meals planned ahead, or were we just more reactive where, you know, in the moment we didn't have those meals? So it's, you know, poor me, victim mindset mentality. I guess I'm just like not going to hit my goals versus like, let me have that plan and that structure so that I don't miss.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot, like I said, a lot more we can control than we give ourselves credit for. And being reactive is essentially just not preparing enough ahead of time. And I used to do this as well in terms of self-sabotage by having things that didn't align with my goals, like on the counter. Think about your pastries, your desserts, like the things that are considered soul food. I have that at eye level, or I open the pantry and it's all these like crackers and chips and like packaged foods that did not fit into my macros very easily. But those were all the things I saw eye level. And James Clear gives an example of this. And in the book Atomic Habits and on a podcast he did with Ed Milet a while back, we shared this both like on our stories and stuff. After a road trip, we listened to this and was like, wow, this example is amazing. But if your systems and your environment don't align with your goals or set you up for success, you're going to continue to self-sabotage. And this is what would happen to me constantly. I'd buy all these foods that didn't align with my goals at the grocery store just because, oh, if it fits your macros. But at the end of the day, I was filling my macros and my calories with these foods, leaving little room to hit my protein or to stay within my calorie range because I was wasting all my calories on these foods that were at eye level. So in the podcast, James Clear talks about, like, if you're trying to quit drinking, You don't want to open your fridge and see all the wine, all the beer, like at eye level. You want to put it like at the back of the fridge, all the other drinks, like if you want to swap it out for a seltzer water or almond milk, like all those beverages that are non-alcoholic, you want them to be in eye view because that's going to align with your goals and you don't have to flex the resistance muscle or like your willpower muscle constantly every time you open the fridge. If you want to eat healthier, you want to open your fridge and see the fruits, the protein sources, like the healthy foods at eye level versus opening your fridge and seeing a tub of ice cream or those soul foods that constantly keep holding you back from achieving your goals. And my fridge, my pantry, my kitchen, the environment, I kept setting myself up to fail. At the end of the day, that's what being reactive is. You're setting yourself up to fail. I'm a big advocate of if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So if you're not grocery shopping before the week, you're not buying foods that align with your goals, and you're not setting up your environments and systems for success, that self-sabotage cycle is extremely hard to break. And I think that in the past when I lived with roommates or when I lived at home, it was really hard for me to be in control of this environment. We understand not everyone can, you know, set up their environment based on like living with a significant other who is on the same journey as them in terms of health and fitness. But if you can just communicate, if this is something that you're like, wow, I can really relate to that. My systems in my kitchen don't align with my goals. I'm self-sabotaging my nutrition constantly. I would just communicate to the people in your life and be like, hey, can we put those things that are super tempting for me or like I can't eat, like dairy things for me, can we put that up high so it's not at eye level? Can we put that somewhere where it's not constantly on the counter? Because every time you see it, you're flexing that willpower muscle and eventually it gets weaker throughout the day and throughout the week. And that's when you give in to temptation and that self-sabotage overcomes your ability to resist that temptation. So now that we shared a couple of examples of how self-sabotage kind of prevented us from achieving goals, whether that's business goals, whether it's fitness goals with nutrition, or even financial goals or relationship goals, I see it pop up in all areas, whether that's with our own clients or just people in our lives. We see that self-sabotage when a victim mindset is at the forefront of the way you think and the way you move and act. And the first step to taking control of your life is developing a growth mindset. And a few examples of how you can do this is through personal development. I used to have a very fixed mindset, victim mindset a few years ago, but once I started doing personal development and hiring my own coaches, whether that was business coaches, fitness coaches, any mentorship, really causes it forces you to grow, which creates that growth mindset. And doing personal development helps in a way surround yourself with people who are like-minded, even if people in your life are not on their own fitness journey or business journey or personal development journey. Reading books allows you to learn from people that you otherwise wouldn't be able to, you know, whether that's listening to podcasts like this one or watching YouTube videos. There's a lot of free resources out there, but also just reading personal development books helps you change the way you think. And over time, you'll start to surround yourself with people who are very like-minded. And that's what we do with our coaching program is we create a community, because when I was on my fitness journey, I felt like I was in it alone. The way I thought, the way I worked out, the way I prepared for the week, and it can become very isolating. So when you surround yourself with like-minded people, it causes you to have a higher mindset because you are the five people you surround yourself with most. If everyone around you is like lack mindset, victim mindset, you're going to think that way naturally versus being around people who have that growth mindset, it starts to become the norm for you. And I think that a couple of other things that have helped us develop a growth mindset, and we see it in our clients too, is gratitude. If you have not listened to the gratitude episode from last week, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And affirmations also helps develop that growth mindset. I used to have lack mindset around like whether that was my fitness goals or money. And doing affirmations helps you become that version of you who sees that success in work, in business, and in your fitness journey. So affirmations, gratitude, and personal development were like massive game changers for me in taking control of my life.
Yeah. And I think what Chris said there was so powerful, just about like creating your own environment of a growth mindset. And because a lot of times for you guys listening, and I know I was just having this talk with like one of my clients recently where he's like, man, I just feel like no one around me has this, you know, kind of mindset that we do like within this program. And I even realized that at first. And that's really where personal development is truly what helped me develop that and continually fine tune that growth mindset. Because something that just popped straight in my mind as I was talking about this is I remember reading Adam Grant's book, Originals, while I was literally traveling in my corporate job, like once again, kind of surrounded by a lot of, you know, fixed mindset people, people with a lot of like victim mentality, not a whole lot of growth mindset in the kind of ecosystem I was in. And here I was like sitting on a plane, traveling for a work trip, like reading all of these incredible examples of these like, you know, super successful people all across the board in different professions, you know, breaking through plateaus, you know, overcoming serious adversity. And I'm like, holy shit, like, you know, these, I was just feeling inspired. Like if these people can do this, like I can do this too. And I think that that's where personal development is just so incredibly powerful. And like, I do think of personal development, like, you know, reading the books, listening to the podcast, basically exposing yourself to growth-minded people, to growth-minded content. So, because then you guys understand, like, that can be the new norm. That can be my life if I can do those things too. And I think that that's what's so awesome about that book by Adam Grant Originals, is he basically like shows multiple examples of people who had a lot of success in specific industries and really showed like where they started, their journey, and how they got to that point. And it really opens your eyes to like, you know, the creator of Amazon is just like you and me. You know, the creator of this other business is just like you and me. It just so happens they had that growth mindset and they had that wicked, crazy, crazy confidence and belief system in themselves. Like, shit, I was just watching the Conor McGregor thing on Netflix. Like, he had a ridiculous, ridiculous vision and growth mindset that pushed him to those heights that he was able to achieve. And so, you know, it does start with your mindset, guys, before it ever comes to fruition physically, externally, around you, in your life. And I think a lot of this comes from dropping those limited beliefs. So, you know, think of it this way, guys, like old ways, your old ways are not going to open those new doors. You know, I gave the example in the beginning of the podcast about where I was starting to hit a wall, you know, in my kind of my business and some of my systems where I'm like, you know, I hit a wall where it was like, I either get emotional about this and complain or I do something about it. And I was very much so motivated and encouraged because I have that growth mindset to do something about it, to look objectively at my business, at what could be better, where could I make better use of my time. And if we don't have, you know, it's so funny how all of this always goes back, you know, to self-awareness. Like if we don't have that self-awareness, we don't even have the ability to understand what's going wrong. And then we don't even have the ability to fix anything. And so this is why personal development and self-awareness is so important, guys, because it does help you self-assess. If you don't have the self-awareness, we can't self-assess what's going well and what's going wrong. And so dropping those limited beliefs are really what's going to help propel you guys, you know, to whole new heights that you've never even been to, whether that be in fitness, finance, your health, whatever it is in your jobs. But really understanding that staying with old habits or staying in old ways that aren't getting me where I want to get, then things have to change. We can't keep with the same inputs and expect different outputs.
I love that quote. And I think that when it comes to dropping limiting beliefs and creating that strong mindset, you have to remember your body follows what your mind tells it. So if you have a negative mindset, if you have like a fixed mindset, once again, we're going to say that a million times throughout this episode, your body's going to follow that. So if you tell yourself like, I can't lift this PR, you will not do it, I promise you. Or if you write down goals like someday I hope I X, Y, and Z, I have my clients write it down like, no, I will achieve X, Y, and Z, because once you get that mindset in the right place, your body will follow.
And I think this one's so funny because it always, something that I always think of is like how people are like, I could never be a morning person. Like, yes, you can. Like you have a limiting belief around the fact that you can't wake up early because you've never woken up early. But it's like, if you change that belief system and you change your habits, you can definitely become that morning person. So this is exactly what we're talking about with limiting beliefs. It's like, you're almost convincing yourself you can't do something before you even try. Like you guys gotta give yourself a fighting chance first and at least try. Even if it doesn't go as planned or you have to pivot, but at least trying. Like you don't just wanna like set yourself up for failure by telling yourself you're gonna fail before you even do it.
Yeah, because those old limiting beliefs are past versions of you. So you're constantly holding yourself back by letting those thoughts creep in, and it's going to prevent you from getting to that next level of you. So recognizing that self-sabotage before it happens is the third step to like taking control of your life, and that takes a lot of self-awareness. We have a whole episode on this previously about how self-awareness is your superpower, because ultimately what it comes down to is recognizing a lot of our problems are self-inflicted. And like Zach said, we tell ourselves, like we tie up our old identities and carry that with us to this next level. I hear that all the time too, of like people saying, I'm always the girl that starts over Monday. I'm always the girl who falls off on the weekend. And I'm like, no, that was your old identity, but you're creating a new one. If you constantly tell yourself, I'm the girl who falls off on the weekend, guess what? You're always going to be the girl who falls off on the weekend. So you have to change your identity through self-awareness and noticing the triggers that cause you to create that self-sabotage in your life. And for me, a massive trigger is stress when it comes to nutrition. So I would self-sabotage when I was really stressed, and I would just like grab the first like processed food or snack I could eat and just like sit down and just like go to town. And then I would sit back and be like, that didn't even make me feel better. And once I started reading these certain personal development books, that's when I really started to like develop that higher level of self-awareness and really be more aware of these triggers. And this helped me create a tool belt for me that works to prevent this stress cycle, to prevent the self-sabotage cycle from taking control of my fitness goals. And that's when everything changed for me. I feel like before, this was like last year, honestly, I started reading these books, How to Do the Work, Stress on the cover. It's like stress, how to break the stress loop of women, something like that. I'll put it in the show notes. But in this book, it talked about how that stress loop was only broken through action. It's not broken through a food or a drink. Like after a long day, if you're like, oh, I need a glass of wine. And I would say that sometimes too. And you do not need a glass of wine. What you need is an action that's going to help break the stress loop. Because when you eat something that's like a processed food or you drink to break the stress loop, it just keeps going and going and going. Nothing stops the loop.
You're just masking the problem. You're masking the underlying problem.
Yeah. And it keeps the cycle going and going and going. And in this book, it talks about how like when you have that urge to choose something easy, like take the easy route that's not really going to break the stress loop, it's just going to mask it. You have to put in an action. And it gave examples of like going on a walk, calling a friend or calling your mom, journaling, reading, taking a bath, doing self-care. It's like all these things I talk to my clients about that I consider charges. Like when you have all these drains in your life, you have to match your drains and charges. And these charges are things that fill up your cup basically and like recharge your battery. And so I remember this perfect example of like, I really wanted to go in the pantry and get like, what was it? Popcorn or something we had, like chips or something sweet. I'm like, oh, stress. I need that. Then I was like, nope, I don't need it. It's not going to break the stress cycle. I'm going to take a shower, self-tan, do the dishes, take the dogs on a walk. I got back and altogether that took me like 30 minutes. I got back and I'm like, what was I even stressed about? Like I honestly forgot what I was even stressed about because I put in so much action to break the stress loop. And then I'm like, okay, these are all actions that broke the stress loop for me previously. I'm going to keep these in my tool belt next time I'm stressed and I see this trigger pop up if I want to snack on these foods, how can I break the stress loop next time around? And this has helped me like over the past year and a half from letting stress ever impact my goals. And of course, it's never perfect, but the books that really helped me, like I said, was How to Do the Work. If you just type in burnout on the library, on whether it's like just Amazon or even I read it on my iPad, but regardless, it's just called Burnout. It's a book that helps you break the stress loop. And then the main book, I see it in real time. Clients literally last week who started reading The Mountain Is You changed their life. It's a whole book about self-sabotage and how like you're climbing up this mountain and the only thing in your way is literally you. And Brianna West is the author of The Mountain Is You. And she also has a podcast called Get Out of Your Own Way. And it's kind of a condensed like Cliff Notes version of the book. I have a lot of clients who have struggles with nutrition, whether that's like the weekends, not being proactive. Everyone has their own reasons, you know, for falling off. And I see clients read this book that they've been resisting reading for a while. And once again, the books we're resisting, the podcasts we're resisting, the meditation we are resisting, it's the thing we need most. And that's a sign, like I said, self-awareness. It shows you that's the thing you need the most to overcome this mountain that is ourselves. And I see clients every time they read this book, they're like, it wasn't a nutrition problem. It was a me problem. It was a mindset problem. It was a systems problem. It was me constantly getting in my own way because I had limiting beliefs. I had a fixed mindset. And I was subscribing to these old identities that they don't serve you anymore. Essentially, we're meant to grow. We're meant to evolve. We're meant to change. And if you have a new level of you, that like all these goals you want to achieve, you have to become a new version of you to achieve them. So you have to drop all of these, you know, triggers, all of these limiting beliefs and the fixed mindset in order to overcome that mountain. So that podcast and book is extremely helpful. Highly recommend you guys read it. And you've heard me talk about it before. And if you're resisting reading it, that means that's the book that you need to read.
Absolutely. And so as you guys can see, stopping that self-sabotage is a huge way that you can get out of your own way and take control over your life. And so we really like this article from Psychology Today that broke down essentially six ways to stop self-sabotage. And so to start this off, you know, the first step with this, we've been talking about it this whole time. We talk about it a lot, and it's knowing yourself. It's having that self-awareness, because this is the only way that we can truly fight that cycle of self-sabotage, is understanding those triggers, identifying the self-sabotaging behaviors, looking for those areas in our life where things are going wrong regularly, just like the example that I gave of myself today. And I think if we can take that assessment more, we can then start to understand where we're falling short. And obviously, you know, when it comes to that self-awareness and it comes to, you know, doing that personal development, guys, it is truly the only way for us to understand who we are deep down. And I say this to my clients a lot, like, you know, it's not like personal development is just magic, but it starts making you question things. Like you start to truly question, like, maybe, you know, why do I do this thing? You know, why do I respond in this way to this person when they ask that. Why am I doing this specific action? Because, you know, what happens, guys, and I know this happened to me, especially as a young professional when I was fresh out of college, is like, you can just become so easily conditioned by the world around you. Like, I'm telling you guys right now, like, you can very easily get into this mode where you are literally just on autopilot going through the motions and you're not living intentionally. You're not living with purpose. You're not questioning everything. You're literally just existing. Like, I'm actually very confident in my own weird mindset and way that this is how a lot of freaking people out there live. I know that. And we have to break free from that. And we have to start questioning why we're living a certain way we are, why we're doing the things we are, to understand ourselves in the first place. I literally remember at one point, like, when I was during like my most adverse kind of self-discovery time period, I remember literally like looking at questions on like prompts and stuff online and in these personal development books about like knowing yourself and like all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know who I don't know myself. Like, I really don't. And I had to do the work. I had to implement, you know, these techniques, these things that we're talking about, to discover who I really was deep down, because it's so easy to lose that. Like, I'm telling you guys, it's so easy as we become adults and we become more and more conditioned by the world around us. It is so hard to know who we are deep down. And it's only going to come from doing the work. It's only going to come from questioning why we're living in the way that we're living.
And I think that I got to witness that in real time, that you begin to like know yourself on a deeper level, because you came from your identity being all sports and football. And once you were no longer that person, you were like, okay, well, who is Zach without football? And I think that a lot of people you coach, and just like a lot of our listeners, probably are going through that identity shift, whether it's, you know, a former athlete just becoming an everyday athlete, no pun intended, or also it helps to look at moms, like women who had a different identity previously and now they have a new identity. And just knowing yourself, like, regardless of what your quote role is, you have to get to know yourself through personal development and what your values are, because you act in alignment with your values and who you are on a deep level. But if you have no idea who you are underneath whatever identity or mask, you know, was, you know, on the surface, then it's really difficult to prevent self-sabotage or make this lifestyle stick long-term.
Yeah. And I'll never forget one of my former teammates who now is like absolutely crushing it in the NFL, Terry McLaurin. I will never forget when he was like a rookie, you know, coming off the draft, like absolutely just like dominating, became like one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, like in his first year as a rookie. I remember him literally on live television, like getting asked these questions about his like success and all of this. And he's like, literally with deep conviction, and like knowing Terry, like he's a beast. He always really has been like deeply convicted in who he is as an individual. And I just remember literally seeing this on TV. He was like, football is what I do. It's not who I am. And he was like talking about how, you know, there's so many other aspects of his personality, of his identity, besides just football. And I think that that is so powerful for anyone listening to realize, is to not allow ourselves to become completely consumed identity-wise by what we do. And that's even something that Chris and I have to be careful of, you know, as we are so deeply involved and engulfed in this profession and this thing that we do that we love. But it's so important to self-regulate that and understand, like, there's more to us than just what we do. There's more to us than just the identity of the mom, like Christina said, or the athlete, like I just said. You know, we're so much more than that. And you guys are going to discover that through that self-awareness that comes through that personal development.
Yeah, and it also applies to your identity when it comes to your job, because jobs change. I've witnessed people lose jobs. I've also lost jobs before. And if your identity is wrapped up in a job or a relationship and you don't know yourself on a deep level, like, then you do the personal development afterwards to figure it out. Or you could do the personal development now as you listen to this episode and prevent that like identity crisis from happening when you do lose that thing you'd wrapped your identity up in. So the next one for stopping self-sabotage is practicing mindfulness. And I know I talk a lot about meditation and just being present. I think we've talked a lot about that on recent episodes. But when you focus on your awareness in a non-judgmental way, first of all, because if you're going to get really deep on like your self-awareness and knowing yourself, you can't judge yourself. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to constantly judge yourself, continue doing what you're doing versus actually changing the habits or behaviors that you need to prevent self-sabotage. So just learning more about yourself, you have to be present in order to do that. You have to be mindful to understand why you act the way that you do and why you think the way that you do in order to change it. So once we started doing meditation and journaling, that's when I really started to understand, like, and doing therapy too also helps, but like why you are the way that you are. But if you're always like go, 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 masking these uncomfortable moments or these uncomfortable seasons of life where you're having growing pains. Like Zach said, he could have just like pushed through it and kept doing what he was doing. But like slowing down and being mindful is where those solutions come through. And when you start to realize like, okay, I'm the problem. Nope. Taylor Swift lyric about to come in. Like, I'm the problem. It's me. But in reality, if you don't slow down to think about it, then you're never going to be able to make that change.
And number three on this list is practicing self-compassion. And I know that I am terrible at doing this from time to time. You know, it's so easy to really just emotionally like judge the shit out of ourselves and just get like so mad at ourselves for doing certain things. But at the end of the day, it really gets us nowhere. It kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. It kind of just keeps that cycle going. It's that infinite loop of self-sabotage. But to break that loop and to be more to have more of that self-compassion is just to eliminate the judgment. You know, understand that even if I did do something that wasn't ideal in the past, or even if I'm currently doing something that's not ideal in the present, we want to shift the focus as quickly as possible. Like I said back in the beginning, from being emotional to being more logical. You know, what can we do? Take the judgment away, and how can we look at this thing objectively and just say, okay, we need to change this, or we need to maybe pivot and try this now. Because it's never going to be perfect, guys. But if we sit there and judge ourselves, it's ultimately not going to get us anywhere. It's going to keep us in, once again, that self-sabotaging loop. And so just try to eliminate the judgment and ask yourself, okay, what can I do? What action can take place to improve this emotion that I'm feeling?
And for a lot of people, self-compassion is really difficult. And that's where those negative thoughts creep in. Like, I'm such a failure. I always do this. And that compassion, I think an exercise that can be helpful is like, it sounds so silly, but like, talk to yourself like you would talk to a friend. You have compassion for someone. So if Zach was to come to me and say like, I failed, I did this, I did X, Y, and Z, I would give him that self-compassion with no judgment. And you have to think about that conversation in your own head and what that looks like, because self-compassion and this next step to preventing self-sabotage are very similar, which is practicing acceptance. But before you can have that acceptance, you have to have the self-compassion, you have to have the mindfulness, and you have to know yourself. So all of these are kind of layered on top of each other. The next one is practicing that acceptance of what's done is done. Here's how I can react differently next time around. And I used to beat myself up over these mistakes when it comes to nutrition, fitness, business, whatever that may be. But once I started to talk to myself a lot kinder and say like, okay, what's done is done. Here's how I can learn from it and grow from it. Now this is what I help my clients do. Typically, like one of the first weekends in a coaching program where there's something social going on, or their first trip, for example, there is a lot of resistance. There's challenges that come up, and how they handle that situation shows me how I can help them improve, and it also shows them how they can improve. But a lot of times what I see in like that first check-in after that tough weekend or after that trip that may not have gone as planned, where they quote fell off, I'm like, okay, that's no longer who you are. You do not fall off on trips. You do not fall off on weekends. Here's what happened. But like, what held you back from staying quote on track? Like, how can we improve your next trip, your next vacation, your next weekend where you have a night out with your friends or a date night? Like every time you're put in that situation where you're being challenged, like every date night, you get better. Every vacation, you get better. But you have to have that acceptance and treat these moments as lessons versus failure. So I always say it's always a lesson. It's never a failure. How can we learn from this weekend that didn't go as planned and move forward and make changes versus harping on it and just letting that cycle continue?
And next is reframing. So reframing the way that we're viewing this uncomfortable situation or the discomfort that we're feeling from adversity, you know, kind of switching that mentality and looking at it as more of an opportunity versus something that's maybe a bad thing. Because the way a lot of people live is when adversity hits or something of discomfort or adversity in general hits their life, the immediate response is to, you know, go the other way, you know, run from the adversity, run from the discomfort, you know, be scared, you know, of the adversity. And I kind of think about the example that I think of when talking about this is like back when I was playing college sports, where it was like, okay, you're not getting the playing time or you're not starting, like just transfer versus like staying with it, working through the adversity and becoming better for it. And this is where, you know, we can take that same mindset and look at these scenarios as an opportunity for growth. Because if we don't change, we're not growing. If we don't, you know, change some of our approaches, our mindset, and the way that we're doing things, ultimately growth does not happen. So when we're met at those crossroads, we really have to reframe the way we're looking at it and say, even though this is uncomfortable, even though I might feel initial negative emotions, let me fuel that into action once again and grow because of it and become a better version of myself because I met that adversity head on versus not. Like, even going back to the example that I just gave, like, if I wouldn't have leaned into the adversity that when I met it at Ohio State, I would have never been the person I am today. If I would have just left and transferred like anybody else, I am not sitting here as Zach, the coach, the personal trainer that I am today. I'm telling you guys that right now. So use us as examples, you know, to see what can happen if you break through that discomfort and you start to view these situations as an opportunity for you to grow.
And I think the biggest thing I see with reframing your, the way you talk and the way you view situations, I see it a lot with women talking about, I'm worried about this, or I'm anxious about it, to I'm actually excited, or like I'm scared to excited. A couple of clients who go through, not a couple, this is like 99% of my clients, but who get a new job in our coaching program, who move across country, who get a promotion, and or they travel internationally or something like that. And they're like, oh, I'm nervous for this situation, or I'm scared of X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, are you scared or are you excited? Because the emotion feels very similar in our body. And I once listened to a podcast where they talked about this, like the way you think about things really does matter, because you go into the situation, either you're scared or you're excited. And a lot of times when you're doing something out of your comfort zone, it is exciting. It's not necessarily scary, but we tell ourselves we're scared and then we go into it with that mentality, and that's when we fail. And the next one is all about failure. So I wanted to just point out a client example really quick. I had a client who came back into the coaching program. She was going internationally and she was like, I'm worried about this trip. And I'm like, are you worried or are you excited? And she's like, actually, I am excited. And I've actually been working on reframing my thoughts. I can't believe I let that one slip through the cracks. And that's why having a coach is very helpful, because we can catch you guys and force you to reframe your thoughts. We can help you create that acceptance, the self-compassion, the mindfulness, and knowing yourself, because it's easier to see from an outside perspective and to have someone hold you accountable for these. These are not easy things to do. Like, preventing self-sabotage is hard because it shows up in every single area of our lives. If you think about any problem we have in life, it's most likely from self-sabotage. So it's really hard to have this conversation with yourself. So having a coach is very helpful. So I just want to point out that, once again, it's very helpful. So number six, this is the last one on how to stop self-sabotage, and that is getting comfortable with failure. And self-sabotage might come from a fear of failure or rejection, which may force you to avoid these hard things. And I always say you can do the hard things, because if you don't try, then you can't fail. And in this case, basically, we unconsciously self-sabotage ourselves before we even put ourselves in a situation to succeed. We always just think we're going to fail, or we fear that rejection, so we don't even try. And I think that's one of the biggest things, like, to limit our potential is to hold yourself back, and you can't reach the highest version of yourself by not doing the hard things, ultimately. So this is why I force my clients to do the hard things in the gym and push for 1% better habits, 1% better PRs. Because once you start doing the hard things in the gym, it translates to every single area of your life. It shows up in how you show up at work, asking for a promotion, doing the hard thing in a relationship, doing the hard thing moving across the country, or cutting people out of your life, whatever that looks like. It all starts with just like flexing that muscle of like doing the hard thing in the smallest of ways, like drinking your water goal, hitting a PR. And once you get out of your comfort zone and drop that fear of failure or rejection, that's where the transformation and just like all this progress you've been looking for really starts to happen.
Yeah. And I think that if you guys can shift the focus from like failures really are not failures, like a failure is growth. So like when you go into a situation and you have like kind of a predisposed mindset of like, what does success look like? Whenever you go into that, if it goes your way, you had success. If it doesn't go your way, you grew, you learned something so very valuable. It's not a failure. Nothing is a failure. It's always a learning experience. And luckily, we get to see examples of this in real time in our clients. And I have a current client who came to me. He was a former football player that I played ball with at OSU. And, you know, he was really looking to gain confidence in, as well as improving his training, his nutrition, and just health in general. And, you know, over time of us working together, I could really start to see that confidence, you know, being built over time. His mindset was changing in the way that he was just showing up in general. And even at the same time of us working together, he was trying to get into a psychology program, and he had told me how he had gotten rejected from the school he was trying to get into, and he literally drove up to the university, waited in the dean's office to speak to the dean, knowing that he had the ability, he had, you know, what they were looking for to get into the program. He was just like so honestly shocked of like why he didn't get into the program. And he literally sat there, waited for the dean for like a couple of hours to get out of meetings just to talk to him and like at least present his case and confidently prove to that dean that he has what it takes to be in that program. And literally because he did that, because he drove up, because he waited to talk to them, because he had the confidence to walk in that room, he literally got into the program. And he told me, you know, in message format, like old him would have never even walked into the building. And this is what we mean by like how one thing is truly how you do everything. And when you start focusing on self-improvement through your health, through your fitness, through your training, through your nutrition, it holds you to a whole new standard of life. It holds you to a whole new standard of self-awareness, and it enables you to do dope shit like I just described. Like, that man would have never walked in the building. He would have never gotten into this psychology program if he didn't have that confidence that he built through those former practices. And so this is what we talk about, guys, and this is why we get so passionate about it, because we literally have evidence firsthand in what we do every single day in clients and how they're able to literally change their entire freaking life based off of these things we talk about in this podcast. And so to round this thing off, as you guys can see from that example, taking control of your life truly requires radical responsibility. And we are here to tell you that it is not easy, but through that responsibility will give you structure and will also give you freedom to implement also the things that you obviously want to do in life, like not just the things you have to do in life. There's that happy medium where you can marry those two through taking that control and taking that radical responsibility. And so this does mean holding yourself accountable for your actions. You know, if you did something and you didn't get the outcome that you necessarily wanted or were predicting, then we have to assess what we did and make changes. We can't just keep showing up with the old habits and the old routines and expect those different outcomes. We have to make those changes. We have to change those inputs to get those outputs. And so if you want to achieve an A plus goal, but your effort is a C or an F, then you can't expect to make the progress if your actions and your effort are not aligning or not rising to the level of those goals or of those expectations. And so it is so important to be realistic with ourselves, like being realistic that maybe even if we didn't have maybe the capacity to do the things that we like were intending to stick to, then try again. Or if those things aren't working, then pivot and adjust. But we have to be realistic about where we're at, what is our current actions yielding, and what do we need to change about those current actions to get that those different outputs that we keep talking about?
And to round things off, I want to point out that you are the only person standing in your way when it comes to taking control of your life, preventing self-sabotage. Nobody can want it bad enough for you. Like, you can have the perfect program, you can have the perfect macros, you can have the perfect blueprint, but if you're not putting in the action, like Zach said, if you have an F level effort with an A plus goal, you're going to be frustrated every single week that you're not where you want to be. And you have to take accountability, radical responsibility, and say, I'm the only person standing in my way. When you fail, it's because you let pride and comparison take control of you versus you taking control of your own actions, habits, and thoughts, which will then lead you to taking control of your progress and of your results at the end of the day. So last thing I want to leave you guys with is there is a book on self-sabotage, On Top of the Mountain Is You, that I would recommend if you listen to this episode and you're like, okay, I have the 6 ways to prevent self-sabotage. I want to get out of my own way. Here's a couple of areas where you can improve, and that's obviously personal development. So like I said, The Mountain Is You is a great book. There's also one called Stop Self-Sabotage, 6 Steps to Unlock Your True Motivation, Harness Your Willpower, and Get Out of Your Own Way. So that was very fitting because it literally says get out of your own way in the title. And this is by Judy Ho. So I have not read this book. I rarely recommend books that I have not read. But if you are struggling with self-sabotage, here's a couple of books and tips and, you know, a lot of examples from us that can cause you to get out of your own way and take control of your life. Because I think that's one of the most helpless feelings, one of the most frustrating feelings, when you feel like you are not in control of what's going on around you. But we have way more control than we realize. And that's what we want to get across with today's episode. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. A little bit of tough love today. And we hope you guys can carry this motivation and momentum into the week ahead. We would love if you guys would share this episode on your story. Tag Zach, tag me, tag Life or Wired. All the links are down below for Nash. Make sure you set your guys' timers for the launch on the 25th. And we will see you guys next week.
Peace out, guys.